Good morning, everybody. Welcome, and we're so glad you're able to join our service, and that includes we've got several visitors here, so that's really nice to see you all. We're here to celebrate the 45 years of Ladies Fellowship here at our church, and I hope you will join in with those celebrations after church as well. You may have noticed that there are some envelopes on your seats from Christian Aid. We will be delivering envelopes in the same way that we've done for the last couple of years. Those who are delivering them do not need to go and collect them. They are to be either handed in here or posted to Christian Aid. Richard, who is helping organise it, has asked if people who attend our church could please put their donation in these envelopes, which are the ones on your seat, rather than any that get put through your door. The reason for that is that he wants to try and work out how much of our collection comes from our members and how much comes from non-members that we deliver to. We are one of only a couple of churches. We are the only church that still delivers envelopes. And if it's mostly our members who donate, then I think he's thinking that we might stop the collection. So if you could please do that, and the envelopes are on the seat, and I think they'll be available as well next week. Thank you. Mandy will prepare to lead our service.
I personally think we should deliver as many envelopes as we possibly can, and then our community here know that Christian Aid is very much supported by at least our church. That's my opinion. It's no task, really, is it, to go on a walk and stick an envelope through a door. The hard bit is knocking on the door and asking for it. Let's put Christian Aid on the map, yeah? So the more envelopes we can take, just take them anywhere. Phew. Chris and I haven't had a very good week, I'm afraid, so this has gone a bit pear-shaped. Especially now as I can't use the clicker to make the slides move on. So Brian very kindly has stepped into the breach. If it goes wrong, please do not turn round and glare at him. When it happens to me, I always say, if you can do any better, come and do it. Hopefully. We're celebrating, aren't we? Celebrating, above all else, the season of Easter. And what a wonderful season it is. We're celebrating the fact that the Ladies Fellowship have been going for 45 years. It's their sapphire anniversary. And we're also celebrating the fact that we have an old member here, sitting on the front there, Carol Cotton. Isn't that wonderful to have her back, at least just for one Sunday? Once known, never forgotten, is Carol. So let's begin with a celebration of Easter as we sing, "See what a morning, gloriously bright, the dawning of hope in Jerusalem."
Thank you. Now we come to our prayer with thanksgiving and prayer of confession. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together to celebrate 45 years of Poynton Methodist Church's latest fellowship. We ask for your continued blessing to the fellowship, its leaders, members, and to the community that benefit from our humble love and care. Father, we thank you for your greatness, your glory and power, for the desire you have planted within us to worship you. We thank you that you have given us the ability to think, to plan and to choose, to laugh and to cry, to give and to share, to encourage and to love. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for enriching experience that the presence of Christ brings to our lives, and for the enabling power of the Spirit which transforms our feelings and our service. For those who have experienced that you and your grace has driven them out to love the neighbor as themselves. For those who care for others in the need, and for those whose words and deeds demonstrates the reality of our love within our lives. And we thank you for those who made Christ real for us, and ask that your Holy Spirit, you will make us true witnesses of your love and life-changing love. We thank you for those who have loved us, helped us, and enabled us to grow more and more into the people you meant us to be. For those who share our pain, listen to our stories, and stood by us when we are hurting. Those who have shared with you as we walk the path of life, for those who have given to us to share our journey of faith, and for those who have opened our eyes to your glory and to our ears to your truth, our minds to your will, and our hearts to your grace. We thank you most of all for Christ, who has kept his promise to be with us always. It is in his name that we bring our prayer. Amen. Amen. Our prayer of confession. Forgive us, Lord, when we know that you're calling us, but we don't want to listen. When you challenge us to trust you, but we would rather put our faith in ourselves. When we should pray, but we have left you no time. When your word is before us, but we are afraid you will speak. When your word is tell us to keep no score of wrongs, but we keep writing the list. When you teach us to pray, forgive us as we forgive others. But the truth is, we don't really mean it. We pray that we're accepted, loved, and forgiven. By your grace, transform us, clean us, renew, and forgive us. In Jesus Christ's name and for his glory, we pray. Amen.
And so we sing, Great is thy faithfulness.
A simple question. What's your favourite TV quiz show?
The 1% Club.
That's mine too. Sorry? Chasers. Any others? Pointless. Yes, I like Pointless.
Universal Challenge.
Oh.
I like Class of Character.
There's always one. Right. Well, let's turn to the 1% Club. With a bit of luck, we've got a slide. Those of you who don't know it, Lee Mack, who's a bit of a comedian, isn't he, asks questions starting with fairly easy ones that say 90% of the people, the population, can answer. And he goes down until he comes to the 1% question. Well, Chris has managed to answer it once. I never have. But I'm better at the easier ones than he is. I don't know what that says about us. Have you noticed we've got a new banner up today? Yeah, you're going to have to turn right round to see it. But we do have a slide of it. It's not a new banner, is it? It's one we made, oh, a fair number of years ago. But it says, it's the 12 disciples, and underneath it says, who's who? You have to work out who each disciple is represented by. I may be wrong because we've got a minister and a local preacher, or two local preachers in the audience, but I'll be very surprised if anybody can name the 12 disciples. But don't prove me wrong. The 90% question is, where's Peter? What represents Peter? The cockerel. I mean, that's easy, isn't it? The 50% question, we're getting harder now, is who does the sword represent? Sorry? No. Simon the Zealot's underneath the sword. He's got a fish. Christianity, and the Star of David, because he was as a Jew, he was zealous. James. Well done. James was the first disciple that was martyred, killed by a sword. The 1% question, who might be represented? And there's no other symbol that he couldn't be represented by as the Last Supper. There's one disciple that's only ever mentioned in the list, and they were all there at the Last Supper. Who was that? Nobody wins the money. Phew. James the Lesser. There were two Jameses, apparently. Although, depends which gospel you read. Sometimes the names vary. So it's quite hard. It's surprising to me, anyway, that we know so little about those 12 men. They were obviously very, very important to Jesus. And yet now, we can't name them. We're not really sure what they did. We have to really think about it. Well, I find that surprising. Who would you say were the most important women in the Bible or in the New Testament with Jesus? Mary Magdalene,
Martha and Mary,
Mary the mother of Jesus. Pity they've all gotten Mary for a name, isn't it? Well, I've chosen seven. I chose Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary and Martha, Mary Magdalene, and the woman at the well. I guess I could now challenge Linda. How about making a banner for 12 women? Let's start with Elizabeth. There she is. Elizabeth, rich, from a priestly family, married to a priest, respectable, very well thought of, lacking only one thing, a child. And then, in her later years, she becomes pregnant after years of waiting. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, who's just been told that she's conceived, goes to meet her. And Elizabeth is given a word of knowledge, a prophetic word, if you like, for she senses who is in Mary's womb without being told. She's the first person who recognizes Jesus even before he is born. She, of course, gives birth to John the Baptist, Mary to Jesus, and those two are linked even before they're born, and very much linked at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. So Elizabeth would be my number one. And then Cousin Mary. Well, books have been written about her. The one who said an unequivocal yes to God. The one who pondered deeply about the events and what was said to her. The toughie who had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem when she's very pregnant, and then had to flee for her life and go and live in exile because Herod was threatening Jesus. She goes to live in exile with her husband and Jesus in Egypt. She didn't exactly have an easy life, did she? A loving and devoted mum who even so lost her 12-year-old son in Jerusalem. A mum who trusted her son to rescue a wedding party. The servants had run out of wine. What does she say to them? Do whatever he tells you. A mum who tries to cling to her son when she sees that the Pharisees are turning against Jesus and he's in danger. Yet a mum who follows him to the foot of the cross. And how does any mother stay and watch that? It's really sad, in my eyes, that we have no account of her meeting the risen Christ. And yet I'm sure she must have done. She's there at Pentecost, she's named. She must have done. Maybe the memory is too precious and too intimate to share. What an amazing journey of faith she had. A woman allowed to bear the Son of God in her womb, but not good enough to serve bread and wine in certain parts of the church today. Makes you think. Then we've got one of my favourites. Hard-working, practical, outspoken Martha. who gets so cross with her sister Mary for not helping her to get the dinner ready for Jesus. That's Mary. Next one. There she is. It's a shame she's remembered for that. Well, I think that. Because there's another story of this family. Their brother Lazarus is so ill, they've sent for Jesus. In Martha's eyes, Jesus has been slow in coming to them, for her brother has died, Lazarus. She wastes no time in ticking Jesus off. I think she's one of those people who speaks their minds regardless. And we all know people like that. She says to Jesus, "If you'd been here, Lord, my brother would not have died." And then she calms down and she adds, "Even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask for." Remarkable faith. And from this, Jesus replies with one of his most famous sayings, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." And Martha replies, "Yes, Lord, I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." How closely those words echo the words of the disciple Peter at Caesarea Philippi. Do you remember? Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And they come out with all sorts of answers until Peter's voice rings out, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Yet we rarely or even never give Martha the praise for saying exactly the same thing, do we? But then the gospel writers were men, tied to their own time and culture. What of her sister, Mary of Bethany? If only there weren't so many Marys around, it would be a darn sight easier. What do we know of her? The same story. We think of the angry sister telling Jesus to tell Mary to help her with the dinner. But Mary simply sits at Jesus' feet and listens to him. Mary, the dreamer, the one who empathized with Jesus and knew instinctively what he needed at that moment. He was on his way to die in Jerusalem. He didn't want a posh meal. He wanted a friend to talk to. I think my sister and I are a bit like Martha and Mary. She's the practical one that speaks her mind. I'm the dreamer. Witness when my mum was really ill. Kathleen, my sister, scurried round the house doing this, that and the other, and I just sat holding my mum's hand. Mary and Martha. But Mary is remembered for pouring perfume on Jesus' feet. Do you remember? An expensive perfume, spikenard. And while they're eating the last meal in Bethany, she pours expensive perfume over his feet. She's anointing him king, but also preparing him for his death. A priestly role. what insight she has. And how this annoys Judas, who tells her we could have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor. And Jesus puts him right. You will always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. Or was it Mary Magdalene who performed this act? The story is recorded in all four Gospels, which is unusual, so it's obviously important. And it launches Jesus into the mystery of suffering, death, and resurrection. Matthew and Mark record, after she's done this, that her name will never ever be forgotten. And then, absurdly, they omit to tell us her name. Men, hey. John has the event at the home of Lazarus and names the woman Mary. But Luke has the event much earlier in his gospel, and it would appear to be the story of a repentant sinner seeking forgiveness, and hence is linked to Mary Magdalene. Look the stories up yourself and make your own mind up. I don't think there is a definitive answer. I believe, and I could be wrong, and no doubt some people will put me right afterwards, I believe this event happened twice. Once by Mary Magdalene and once by Mary of Bethany, for two different reasons. But what else do we know about Mary Magdalene? She's been healed of 7 demons. And I think as Mary, the mother of Jesus, seems to fade from the story, she steps into the limelight in a leadership role. And she was Jesus' choice as the first witness to him being resurrected. There she is on the edge of the tomb with the risen Christ behind her. So we have a woman who was the first to recognize Jesus before she was born, Elizabeth. And we have a woman who's the first one to see him and recognize him after her death, after his death. And the final one that I would put on in a list of important women in the gospel, the woman at the well. She's a Samaritan, not even a Jew, the enemies of the Jews. 5 times divorce, we're told. And Jesus announces to her as they talk that he is the Messiah. And she becomes Jesus' first apostle of either sex to reach out beyond the Jewish nation. Truly a pioneer. It seems to me that the more we look at the Gospels themselves, the more we see the importance of women in those Gospels, and how much they can teach us about Jesus' respect for women. All are welcome in his family because he invites them all to go on a journey with him. They all started at different points, very different points, as do we all. But he brought healing, love, and purpose into their lives. We all have to make our own minds up about the place of women in the church today. I think it was in 1974 that Methodists voted to have women ministers, and we rejoiced. Followed about 15, 20 years later by the Church of England. I distinctly remember driving down from Manchester down the A6. My boys were in the back, quite young, and we had the radio on. And the news came, the Church of England will admit women as priests. And I can remember letting go of the steering wheel and shouting, "Hallelujah! About time!" But not everybody would agree with me. I think we very much need to support the Church of England at the moment as they choose a new leader. Wouldn't it be great if they chose a woman? I'm getting the thumbs up from over there. We ought to pray too for the Roman Catholic Church as they choose a new pope. It won't be a woman, but let's hope he will continue in the same vein as Pope Francis, who was much respected, wasn't he? Much respected. You know, a woman's place, and it's the same for a man, is where she can do, or he, the most good, where they can use the gifts that God has given them and call them to use. Thinking back, I was brought up as an Anglican, so very much in tune with the Mother's Union, which is the same as the Ladies' Fellowship here. My mum was a staunch member, nothing quite like the Mother's Union. We used, my sister and I used to tease her and call it the Mother's Onion, but children will be children. But when I was a little girl, the Mother's Union seemed to do the catering tasks and the cleaning tasks. And my guess is it was the same in the Methodist Church with the Ladies' Fellowship, but not anymore. I was looking round the Ladies' Fellowship, the members of it, on Thursday. Yes, we do have people who provide food and drink for us, and it's a vital task. But we also have in there a worship leader. We have church stewards. We have flower arrangers, banner makers. Two of the women lead a Bible study group, and one a prayer group. Breakfast church is also led by a member. How things have changed for the better. It's all about whoever we are using our gifts for the benefit of the community in which we live and of the church where we worship. Just think for a moment, whoever you are, what do you think is your gift? And no gift is more important than any other. What's your gift? And how do you use it? So let's sing, "Lord, you call us to your service." Each in our own way, some to caring, loving, healing, others to preach or pray. Some to work, I can't read it, with quiet learning, truth discerning, day by day.
Thank you.
just asked if she can give a testimony. Isn't that wonderful?
So it's over 30 years since I started at this church. And my first thing was, when I sat here thinking, my, this place is organised. And my husband and I were really impressed with it. Over the years, I was asked to do several things. I never felt I was the person that should be doing these things. I always thought there was someone better. And in a way, this was my place where I think I grew most in my faith. Mandy was one of the leaders of a ladies' Christian weekend.
Oh, yes.
And I can't remember where we went.
Somewhere in Wales, Jean will know.
Ostrostre, okay. And one of the things she did something about gifts. And I thought, what gift have I got? Those who have sat next to me know I can't sing. I can't play a musical instrument. I can't preach. I could make a cup of tea, not a bad one. But Mandy, with the thing that she did that weekend, told me what my gift was, and I realised I did have a gift. I had a gift of administration and getting things organised. And I've taken that gift from Poynton to a small town in Suffolk. And for my sins, I'm now one of the church wardens. And every year I've tried to resign. I didn't want to do it in the first place. I think my vicar asked me 4 times. And then someone else said to me, Carol, pray about it tonight. And I prayed, God, if you want me to do that, I need to know in the next 24 hours. I need a sign. And it's 10 o'clock at night, so I didn't have much time. First thing in the morning is yet another email from Dave, our vicar, saying, Carol, I really think you should be doing this. And I had to agree, didn't I? And I do try and recite, and he knows I do. And it's because I think I've got other gifts that I can do. I'm now doing their car park. I'm renovating their car park. I'm applying for grants. That's one of my gifts. So I've also put a very nice disabled toilet in that we actually have tours of when people come to see our building. And they say, and this is our toilet. But without Poynton Methodist, I don't think I would have been able to do any of this. And I am eternally grateful. And you hold a big chunk of my heart here. And I still have you on Facebook, so I know what happens. And I've had all the news. I stayed with Judy Gibbons the other night because she's only 2 hours away from me and she sends her love. But thank you for being faithful and for supporting me in my journey. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Carol, for her testimony, for the effect that this church has had on her own ministry. We thank you that she answered your challenge. And we ask you to bless her. And Lord, if you're calling somebody else in this church to take on a new role, they may be nervous, they may be afraid, but strengthen them to answer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Rowena, let's hear about the growth of the Ladies' Fellowship. You've got 35 years to go at.
45.
Get it right, Mandy.
Yeah, get it right. Right, well, I'm very pleased to be able to share with Ladies' Fellowship's 45-year anniversary with our church family today. What are we celebrating? Well, enduring friendship, faith that binds us together, and support for each other and those outside our fellowship through charity fundraising and other actions. Poynton Methodist Ladies' Fellowship was formed in 1980 when the Clumber Road Ladies Fellowship and Park Lane Midway Group amalgamated in advance of the two Methodist societies joining in this church, which was then being built. The aim of the fellowship was that women may share together in Christian fellowship and be strengthened in body, mind, and spirit, and to extend an invitation to all ladies. And later, mutual support was added to those aims. And the fellowship was to meet at 8 o'clock on alternate Thursdays, sub 10 pence. The chairman, treasurer, and secretary were to be church members, and we were to have 4 devotional meetings a year. Those were the enshrined in our constitution. 2 younger members of the Joint Planning Committee and the First Ladies Fellowship Committee are still members of our fellowship today, Sandra Townsend and Lorna Samuels. And at our meeting on Thursday, we presented them both with a gift from Ladies Fellowship with our love. We're indebted to these early committees and the then minister for setting Ladies Fellowship on firm foundations. Our Ladies Fellowship tablecloth, which is outside, you must have a look at it on your way out, was created in 1987. It records members' signatures, which encourages a sense of belonging. And there are currently 123 signatures, with 7 more to go on. Until COVID, we met every 2 weeks, September to May, and now we meet once a month, every month. I've done a quick count, and we've met over 800 times, including some 30 annual meals and 23 outings. And I sat next to Carol on the trip to Blaze Farm when we went to look for ice cream on the coach. We did. That's right. Ladies Fellowship has used the kitchen to provide thousands of cups of tea and coffee over the years. However, it's clear from the minutes that our founding committee had no intention of staying in the kitchen. For the 1981 Christmas meal, some members of Young Church were asked to wash up for a payment of £5. During the 1980s, there was an average attendance of 60. As the world has changed, especially for women and families, and as the membership aged, membership has dropped from a regular 40 to 50 to post-COVID about 30, and now we regularly have 20 plus at our meetings. COVID was a changing point for the fellowship, as it was for everyone. We didn't meet in church between March 20 and October 21. Towards the end of 2020, we started meeting on Zoom. At initial meetings, everyone who managed to log in got a cheer. We still have a couple of Zoom meetings in January and February to keep up our skills and enjoy fellowship on cold, grey days. It's proved important to some less mobile members who can no longer get to meetings. Supporting one another is an important part of our fellowship, sending cards to those who are ill and for birthdays. Julie Hallworth keeps in touch with members who become unable to meet due to ill health. It's good to hear news of them, and I'm sure they enjoy Julie's pastoral care. Well, what have we been doing for 45 years? At our meetings, we have speakers to entertain and inform us. We've enjoyed dance lessons, thanks to church members' special talents, great fun, musical evenings, and I'm pleased to invite everyone to our September meeting this year, when John is going to be playing the organ for us again, not to be missed. We've learned about difficult society issues, domestic abuse, the work of the PCSOs, and latterly the CCSOs with the young people of Poynton, poverty, and the work of Wood Street Mission and Action for Children. Of course, we have in-house entertainments as well, beetle drives, quizzes. We're quite competitive and vocal. Topics can chat around, and poetry reading. Our meetings include a short devotion, and we close by saying the grace to one another. It reminds us of what brings us together. Over the last 2 years, we've been supporting Silk Life Food Bank, and now Poynton Community Larder. Until COVID, we had annual meal out, the Dean Water, chow, summer walks, and coach trips. An outing on a canal barge saw 2 members cleaning the windows. Not because we couldn't pay, with rain outside and hot air inside, the windows got very steamed up. Much to everyone's amusement, a dishcloth with fairy liquid was requested to cure the problem, And the two girls running the canal, it was their first or second night that they'd done it, were pleased to learn the remedy. We're now smaller in number, and some are not as tall as we used to be. We've had a lot of we have a lot of friendship ties to encourage us to meet. This last winter, on a particularly rainy, miserable day, I was worried that the speaker would be disappointed with low numbers. But as 2 p.m. crept nearer, ladies arrived, shaking umbrellas, and the room was buzzing with conversation and laughter. We are so lucky. Looking back, I feel that Ladies' Fellowship has provided a strong bond within the church through the friendships formed by meeting regularly, working on and undertaking numerous ventures together, both the mundane and the more demanding. I've been a member of Ladies' Fellowship since 1989. My motivation for joining as a young mum, new to the area and to the church, was hoping to find something for me and to make friends. Ladies' Fellowship provided this handsomely. My life has been enriched through Ladies' Fellowship and the friendships I've made there. Ladies' Fellowship is open to all women, regardless of church membership, who want to meet for fellowship, and we're pleased to welcome new people. I hope you're all going to stay afterwards to enjoy tea and coffee and share our celebration cake. And I hope you all have a good look at it. Barbara's made a wonderful job of the cake, so thank you, Barbara.
So let's pray. Father, we celebrate with the Ladies' Fellowship. It's 45 years of service in this community and in this church. We thank you for faith shared, friendships formed, for support given, charities supported. Help each one of us, whoever we are, to consider again our role in this community and church and to act accordingly. We've heard of charities supported as Christian Aid Week approaches. Help us to be willing to go around the streets and deliver envelopes to let Poynton know we still very much support this charity and the work they do for the poorest of the poor. And help us to be generous in our own financial support of it. We've talked of friendships, but we look out at a world where friendship seems in short supply. And we think of the people of Gaza, who, though not innocent of wrongdoing, have lost so much in terms of buildings, livelihoods, people killed. And now even food and water are being denied them. We weep in shame that anyone, let alone women and children, can be treated in this way. And we plead for peace with justice. Likewise, we hold before you Ukraine and Russia, that agreements will be made that all sides can agree on. We pray especially for the leaders of these countries. Open their eyes, Lord. Open their eyes to peace, friendships, and close them to coldness and greed. We pray for our own government changing before our very eyes. May justice and compassion be at its centre. We talked about the church, Lord, this morning. We pray that you will guide the leaders of the Roman Catholic and the Anglican churches to elect the right people in your eyes to lead them in such uncertain times. And we pray for our own church. Continue to lead this church as we prepare to welcome a new minister. And then we think of those who are facing illness. We pray especially for Janet Roger in hospital after a fall. For Joy back in hospital from Woodlands. For Alison, still far from well. For Freddie, the grandson of Anne Batterton, hurt by a fellow pupil, and although physically better, is suffering emotionally. Bring your healing, we pray. Bring your strength. And in the silence, we name before you those for whom we have personal concern. But we end in gratitude, Lord, for all the many, many ways that you have blessed us and this church. And we put our thoughts into song as we sing, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided us.
Thank you.
Let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Have we got a cake to cut? Oh, sorry. I was given a pen drive with lots and lots of pictures of the Ladies' Fellowship over the ages. Some of them you can see on the screen in the foyer, but the idea was to play them after the service. Because of what's happened personally this week, I left it late to try and load it into the computer and failed completely. What I suggest is, Rowena, that we use it in one of the meetings in August. I'll get Steve to load it for us, and then we can really enjoy it. It's amazing the number of people we remember, so I'm sorry it's not at the end of the service. Please come and cut the cake. Who's made it?
Barbara.
Now, there's a gift I didn't know you had.
We must be that.
Yes. Great. So congratulations to our Ladies' Fellowship, and may you go from strength to strength. So look at the pictures on the screen, and eventually we'll cut the cake. You want to come and have a quick